You arrive on Battersea Island in the Outer Hebrides of Scotland on a cold, clear afternoon. You stand looking out over a curving bay. The land sweeps down towards the sea. The blue of the sky seems to stretch forever, and the sun is out, a pale yellow disc that hangs just above the horizon. It gently warms your skin, but there's a breeze coming off the sea, bringing with it the scent of salt and seaweed. You take in a long, deep breath of the clean, fresh air and feel yourself begin to smile. Looking down onto the golden beach, you see a group of people hauling pieces of wood and old pallets across the sand to a giant heap. It looks like they're building a bonfire. You squint slightly and can make out some familiar figures. One blonde head turns in your direction and waves wildly at you. You realise it's Claire. It looks like she's shouting something to you, but the wind catches her words and tears them away, carrying them out towards the sea. Seeing your blank, strained expression as you try to decipher what she said, Claire gives up and beckons for you to come down to the beach. You pick a path through the clumps of long, tall grass and make your way down through the sand dunes and out onto the beach. The minute you start to cross the fine, gritty sand, you begin to sink into it and have to battle to keep moving forward, feeling the grain slipping and sliding beneath you. But the sight of the people near the bonfire draws you on. The closer you get, the firmer the sand becomes, and it gets easier to move. You step round piles of dried, crispy seaweed and spot a large piece of driftwood. It looks like it would be perfect for the bonfire, so you pick it up and carry it with you. Claire leaves the group and comes over to give you a hug. Hi, I'm so pleased you made it. And you brought wood for the fire. As you can see, we're building a giant bonfire to light when it gets dark. You can put your piece on now if you want. You move to the side of the woodpile, and up close it's even bigger than you first realised. It's going to be great once it's lit. You wedge your piece of driftwood into a space and step back, hoping it won't fall, and worse still, make the pile come crashing down. But it's safe, the bonfire remains standing. I think that about does it, Claire says, her voice carrying to the rest of the party guests. It's tempting to light it now, but it won't be long until it gets dark, and then it will look really spectacular. Let's all go down and have a walk by the water. If you're brave, you can even have a paddle. But in these chilly northern seas, you might not be able to stay in for long. You all turn and head towards the roaring crash of the waves, which grow louder the closer you get. Some people slip off their shoes and leave them in a pile. Claire's among them and you decide to join her. You don't have to paddle after all. The sand is smooth and gritty, but the closer you get to the water, the wetter and firmer it becomes. You look back and see a crazy pattern of footprints weaving across the darker sand. You can make out the rounded shapes of paw prints and the stick-like scratches of birds' footsteps. Somebody must have been walking their dog on the beach, and you can see why. The open expanse of sand is very tempting. The harsh screech of a gull makes you look up, and you see one flying above you, heading in towards the shore. Turning back to the water, you can see a few white spots bobbing up and down in the waves. The water is amazingly calm for this time of year, and it's really soothing to watch the rise and fall of the waves as they roll their way into land. Some of the guests step into the shallow water, and almost in one motion they all leap back out, dashing to the dry sands with squeaks and wails. "I did warn you it was cold," Claire says with a grin. Everybody is laughing, and a few brave souls venture back towards the water, moving gradually into it again, toughing out the icy waters. "Rather them than me," Claire tells you. "I'm happy to just walk on the cold sand and feel that between my toes." "Ooh, look, there's a pretty shell." Claire ducks down and picks up a beautiful curved shell and hands it to you. You feel the cold, slightly damp shell. It's gritty with sand, and you brush off the grains, tracing the natural ridges and grooves of what once used to be a creature's home. You search the ground for more natural treasures. When you look up, you see that the sun is setting and a golden glow falls on the sand. The blue sky is beginning to transform into a wash of beautiful colours. The pinks, peaches and oranges are breathtaking. The day's warmth is fading with the sun. The paddlers have given up and are now standing shivering. "You look frozen," Claire says. "Come on, I think it's time we light the bonfire. give you all a chance to get warm. She leads the way back up the beach, and you follow behind, stopping occasionally to pick up a shell or a piece of smooth sea glass. When you reach the woodpile, you see that Claire has got a box of matches, and as you deposit your finds in a pile, she strikes the match, and with a rough scratching noise, the flame hisses into light. Claire quickly cups her hand around the precious light, shielding it from the sea breeze. She bends and touches the match to a mound of dried grass at the base of the pyre. The grass begins to smoke, sending up the scent of summer into the air. Everybody watches, breath held, until suddenly the grass bursts into a bright orange light, and with a collective sigh, you all breathe out. You can hear a gentle crackling coming from within the wood, and the first telltale whiff smoke begin to snake their way up through the bonfire. Claire brings out rugs and stretches them out onto the ground, and everybody finds a space and settles down to watch the fire catch. From your position, you also see down the beach to the sea, and you realise that the skies begin to darken. It won't be long before night falls. The crackling has grown louder, and tongues of orange and yellow flames are starting to creep up the wood. They flicker and vanish, re-emerging in a new place, before disappearing and returning to their original spot. As the wood heats, you can hear a snap and a pop as the sap begins to expand and burn. It's a comforting sound. The wind carries most of the smoke away, but it leaves a woody, slightly salty smell that lingers in the air. Claire has got a couple of picnic hampers and is starting to unpack them. She takes out bottles of drink, glasses, plates and cutlery, which she arranges on a blanket. Next there are packets of rolls and bags of crisps, pots of vegetables that look like a rainbow of colour, with flashes of green, red and orange. From one hamper, she removes long, thin forks as long as your arm. You wonder if you stumbled into a giant's picnic. They're toasting forks, Claire explains. We're going to be toasting our own dinner. There's something about fire that says cook your own food. We've got sausages, veggie sausages, and even whole peppers, courgettes, and halloumi cheese that you can toast. The food sounds amazing, and you watch Claire peel back the lids of the different containers, revealing the food that's waiting to be cooked. You see that everybody else is checking out the pots, obviously considering what they want for dinner. In your head, you plan your menu, and you can't wait for the fire to be ready for cooking. While you wait, Claire passes around glasses and then comes round with bottles of drink. You can choose what you fancy, something sweet and sparkling or still and refreshing. There's alcoholic and non-alcoholic options, so you can choose your favourite. Finally, Claire checks on the fire and says, "Right, it's ready for us to be able to do some cooking. All you have to do is stab your food onto the end of your fork and hold it above the fire. It's best to find a pocket of hot, red embers, as this will get the most even heat and won't just cook the outsides. Watch out for spitting fat and flames, and make sure you keep turning your food so it cooks all the way through. Just have fun." You take the long, unwieldy fork and stab it into your first piece of food, and then holding it, a bit like a fishing rod, you sit with it over the fire. You're closest to the heat and can feel it gently warming your own skin. Glancing to either side, you see that everyone is looking a bit pink, but the warmth is welcome after the cold of the sea. You watch the food, turning it occasionally, making sure that you get a nice, even golden brown all the way round. The smell coming from the fire is a mixture of wood smoke and toasting food. It makes your mouth water. You wish it would hurry up and cook so you could start to eat. Claire comes across to see how you're doing. "I think that's done," she says. "You can cut it open on a plate to make sure it's cooked through." You do as she suggests, and the food is hot and steaming inside. "You're all set," Claire says. "Help yourself to any sauces, salads, and other bits that you fancy." You willingly fill your plate and then sit back to enjoy your food. It's definitely much darker now. The sun has disappeared below the horizon, and the clear blue sky has deepened to a dark midnight blue. There's so many stars out here, away from any light pollution, that it's as if there are more pinpricks of starlight than there is darkness in between. You can cook more food when you're ready, trying as many of the different things as you want. Eventually, you put your plate down and sit watching the fire burn. You lose all sense of time as you stare into the flames, and are only brought back to the beach when Claire leans over and hands you a piece of paper and a pen. I think there's something magical about fire and flames. It makes me want to let go, cast off the past. We're going to make a list of all the things we want to leave behind. Anything that no longer serves us. Not resolutions. They all sound like laws or obligations. Not fun at all. This is more of a clearing process. There's a few things I'd like to get rid of forever. My illness, all my tiredness. But it's a fire, not a magic lamp, so I'm realistic. But there are a few things I'd like to send away. Like my frustration and impatience. That doesn't help me at all. So I'm going to write that down on my list. How about you? What do you want to write down and burn in the fire? You can put anything you want, big or small, it's up to you. You take the pen and poise it over the paper. What should you write? You don't want to feel sad or get lost in the past, but there might be a couple of things you want to let go of. Emotions that make life harder or thought patterns that you know are destructive. You don't need to solve them today, just write them down and let the fire deal with them. A quiet hush has fallen around the fire, and you occasionally glance up to see what everyone else is doing. Some people are scribbling furiously, while others look pensive. Some stare at their sheets of paper, while others gaze off into the distance, lost in thought. When everybody finishes, they fold up their piece of paper, and you do the same when you're ready. Claire is the first to stand and move closer to the fire. She closes her eyes for a second and then throws the folded paper into the flames. In seconds it's gone and she steps back smiling. Your turn, she says to you, and you step forward. The folded paper feels big and heavy in your hand. For some reason you feel slightly reluctant at throwing it into the fire. But you've had enough of holding it and you throw open your hand, flinging your list into the heart of the orange glow. For a moment you see the white paper settle in the fire. And then the flames gnaw at it, burning it up into a pile of white ash, which crumbles and falls into the depths of the fire. You let out a long, deep breath that you didn't even realise you were holding, and you feel lighter, as if a weight has been lifted from you. You wriggle your shoulders and a big grin spreads across your face. This feels good. You sit back down next to Claire and watch as everyone else takes their turn, each letting go of things that no longer serve them. The transformation on their faces is amazing. Everyone looks beautiful, radiant, and so much happier. When the final paper is burnt, there's a light, almost giddy atmosphere, and people are laughing and smiling at each other. Someone takes out a guitar and begins to strum a few chords. It's a song you recognise, and so does everybody else, because they all begin to sing along. The words carry loud and clear, out into the dark night. It's the perfect way to spend the evening, and you look around you at the happy, smiling faces. This is the best kind of beach party. Many songs later, Claire looks at her watch. Come on, everyone, it's nearly midnight. We need to get ready to welcome in the new year. She gets up and gestures for you to do the same. Then she sets off towards a cottage that sits just above the beach. It's a small white thatched cottage. You pass it on your way here. And you wonder what's going to happen now. You all head inside the small open-plan cottage. Everybody crowds in. There's not much space, but people make themselves comfortable, squeezing onto sofas and chairs, huddling around the fire, burning in the hearth. It's very welcome after having to leave the bonfire behind. There are just a few minutes to midnight, Claire tells you, as she passes out glasses to the other guests. Coming to you, she says, I'd like you to help me with something. Can you stand by the back door, and at the first strike of midnight, you have to open, then close and lock it? I'll be waiting by the front door, and on the last strike of midnight, I will open the front door. It means we can let out the old year and let the new year in. It sounds like fun, and so you take your position at the back door. You check the keys in the lock and give it a practice twist, just to make sure it works okay. You glance to the loudly ticking clock that sits above the fireplace, and see there's just 30 seconds to midnight. Ready? Claire asks you from the other end of the cottage. You nod, then everyone begins to count down the final seconds to midnight. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, two, one. Happy New Year! At the first ringing chime of the clock, you turn the handle and push the back door open, feeling a rush of cold air flood over you. You instantly pull it shut again and turn the key, hearing the lock click shut with a decisive clunk. Happy New Year, people are calling, hugging each other, while one person is saying, white rabbits, white rabbits, white rabbits. Beneath it all, you can still hear the resonant sound of the clock. You realise you've lost count of the chimes. Was that 9 or 10? Fortunately, Claire has kept track, and on the last echoing chime, she turns the key and throws open the door. She looks at you and smiles. Happy New Year. I hope it'll be your best year yet.